This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Dr. Carl Bamlett, the Modern Caveman, a show that helps you to reshape your modern life using wisdom from the past.
Welcome to the Modern Caveman, where this week we're going to be talking a little bit about back pain and more specifically neuropathic back pain, cuz.
Neuropathic, that sounds like a big scientific word. You're going to have to like simplify that down for the cuz.
Neuropathy?
Neuropathy?
Yeah, that's then the...
Something about neurons?
Yes. The nerves are affected in the pain, so you have pain shooting down the leg. And the way this is most commonly understood, but kind of incorrectly, is when we say sciatica. So sciatica is one of the nerves in the back of the leg that goes down, and that travels all the way down to the back of the foot. But oftentimes people with any type of nerve pain say sciatica.
So just for the listeners, the modern caveman is demonstrating all this is happening, but you can't see that. But he's moving his arm up and down the back of his leg.
We're giving visuals for cuz, but not for everybody at home. So it's around the nerve that's going around the body. We're talking about the back today, but we're going to clarify what sciatica is, what neuropathy is, and give you some differences between those and kind of, let you understand what's going on.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be an interesting show, and, you know, being a chiropractor, you know, thinking about back pain certainly aligns to your practice.
Absolutely. It's what I know best.
Nice one.
I see thy face in every dream, my waking thoughts are full of thee. Thy glance is in the starry beam that falls along the summer sea. Oh, Genevieve, sweet Genevieve, the days may come, the days may go, but still the hands of memory weave the blissful dreams of long ago. Fair Genevieve, my early love, the years but make thee dearer far. My heart shall never, never rove, thou art my only guiding star. For me the past has no regret, whate'er the years may bring to me. I bless the hour when and thee. Oh, Genevieve, sweet Genevieve, the days may come, the days may go, but still the hands of memory weave the blissful dreams of long ago. Oh, Genevieve.
So, cuz, I was thinking in my office yesterday, and I was thinking, what is a good topic that we could, touch on a little bit deeper that I haven't touched on in the, 6+ years we've been doing this show. And one of the most common things I hear from people is around sciatica and low back pain. And oftentimes with the sciatica, when they come in and say that, it's not true sciatica. And it's something else that's slightly different, or it's along a different nerve root. And it's a real commonly misunderstood term.
Right.
And so if we kind of bring a little bit of understanding to what it is when we have sciatica or other type of nerve pain, what people are trying to explain, what the type of pain it is, how we go about fixing it, and kind of recovery times that it takes for that will help give everyone a little bit of an idea. Because when you do have this, it's quite a debilitating thing.
No, absolutely. It causes all sorts of discomfort.
Hmm. And it's oftentimes, I see people in a few different categories, but it can be 5 to 10 years after it started, they're still having this real significant pain that's really draining their energy out of their life.
Hmm.
And so to give it a bit of an idea, there's a few different things that happen. So when we think of this neuropathy that I was talking about at the intro, there's a few ways to think of that. There's a few senses that get traveled on our nerves and up into our spinal cord, up to our brain, and then if they're not coming in correctly, then we get a bad message. All right, that bad message is oftentimes what we think of as neuropathy. It doesn't necessarily need to be pain. Oftentimes it is pain. It can be a weird feeling.
Right.
So somebody comes in and goes, my leg's kind of tingly or weird. Mm-hmm. I don't feel it normally. And you have to kind of go, okay, well, what does that mean? And they go, I don't know. This is the common interaction I have on a weekly basis with at least one or two patients.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, okay, so you don't know what is the feeling, and is it cold? Like, no, not really. Is it hot? No, not really. Is it tingly? No, not really. It's just dull.
Right.
It's a muted feeling. And people at home who have this going on are sitting there going, okay, yeah, I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, they can connect with that.
Yeah, they know what he's talking about, or I'm talking about. So there's a few different things in our legs and in our arms and in our hands and in our skin and in our body that talks to our brain. There's five big senses that we go off of here. We have vibration. We have soft touch versus deeper touch, light versus sharp, hot and cold, and proprioception are the real big ones that we can travel in and our brain can see the picture of. If any of those aren't right, it will give us a bit of a kick in the backside and say, fix this.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the numbness, you get the weird tingling in the front of the shin. Or have you ever sat on a chair for too long and you get that numbness down into your feet and you try and stand up and you got a bit of a dead leg?
Yeah, absolutely. I can recall moments of that.
Yeah, that's the nerve that travels down, not being able to give you the good information to the muscles to hold it. And the way coming up does a similar type of thing. You get that dead leg, but going up to the brain from the receptors that are giving information to your body. And this is telling us all these different positions that are going on and what's going on in the body, so you can really paint a good picture and know what's going on with everything. When any one of those gets out, when any of those little receptor organs get out, when any joint space gets out of place, you get a bad message and a bad picture painted. So let's take an example of sciatica. And one of the big things that happens with sciatica is we get disc bulges. A disc bulge in the spine will trigger onto the nerve and will send pain out and down the leg. That's the kind of like hallmark example of it. That's what everyone kind of knows. It doesn't always happen that way. Oftentimes it doesn't happen that way. And there's varying degrees of compression of that nerve. So the disc can bulge out really far and make it so you can't feel your leg at all, your foot doesn't work. That's one where a surgery is really good right away. That's one where not many people are going to disagree with you, where when your foot doesn't lift, they're like, okay, well, you need to get it before the nerve dies.
Mm.
That's pretty standard. But there's few of that type of nerve pain, and there's much more of all the rest.
Yes.
And those ones, when they get diagnosed, it's like, okay, you need this. It's a cut and dry answer. The rest, there are much more shades of gray.
Yes.
Much more shades of gray. So in the back of the leg, when we have that, cloudy picture going on, the sciatica is oftentimes down the back leg, down to the bottom of the foot. If it sounds similar to that, but it stops at the knee, that's a different type of nerve that you're having. So you're not having sciatica, you're having the posterior femoral cutaneous nerve is oftentimes one that's going to be down the back of the knee. So there's different nerves that come out. You're having a neuropathy regardless of which one it's on, but it's not necessarily the sciatica. So it's a real fine little difference there, but we have a different thought process around our head when we think of the two things people do. So if they come in, they go, I have sciatica, they hear all the bad things about sciatica that they've had, and they accept that that's what's going to happen with them too. So if we understand it's not quite that, and there's varying degrees of things that can cause it, that's when we can start to actually address the problem.
So I guess that's why you're just really redefining or classifying what the real challenge is.
Exactly.
And not saying all things fit under the sciatica.
Exactly, because I see the people that haven't gotten fixed from what they're going and doing, and oftentimes the real knee-jerk reaction is when there's a sciatica or a neuropathy is go get a surgery right away. That's the number one thing. And with the people that have the foot drop going on, that's a real thing you should be doing is getting that. But that's a very small proportion of it. And other people have choices that they have to make. Informed choices are always better than uninformed choices, in my opinion. And so some of the choices that people have to do are what we're going to talk about, and kind of some of the examples of what's going on are what we're going to talk about today a bit more.
That's good. I just sort of thinking that you mentioned that there's quite a common challenge that people come to your practice for and getting your help with.
Mm-hmm.
Are there some similar or common causes to this as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because there might be more than one thing that's triggering it or causing it, but what are some of the things that might be causing it so that our listeners might be thinking, okay, yeah, this is speaking to me, you know?
Well, there's a few different cases that we can kind of go into. So the people that set on with real acute onset, it suddenly happens, and they go, okay, it happened at this day, at this time when I was doing this. There's usually a few mechanisms that happen to cause it to go off. So if that's you, if you were, you know, underneath your car and you went to spin to grab the wrench to do this, and then all of a sudden, bang, it felt like somebody shot you in the left buttock, then this is for you. So those people are usually from rotational and lifting exercises is what usually throws that disc off, and that disc doesn't stay in the way it's supposed to, so it doesn't stay within its own boundaries there, and it expands out, which is a disc bulge. And this can go, any direction. So the disc can bulge in the front, the back, the side, the other side, anywhere in a 360-degree angle. And if it goes in the wrong direction and catches a nerve that's coming out of a little opening in the spine called a foramen, and it traps that or compresses that or compresses tissue near that and then causes it to compress it, that will cause some of the issues that we're talking about. So that's one of the cases.
So there might be someone that's not using a good technique for doing something.
Poor lifting posture. And they can need a surgery. They also may not, because it may not be to the severe extent of where it's causing the foot drop and the other real red flag symptoms that their doctors will talk with them or their chiropractor can talk with them about on a case-by-case basis. So you got to figure out how severe the symptoms are, if you can manage it without surgery, because surgery is not definite and you can't go back from that. Mm-hmm. So that's one of those cases where if you've done that poor form, change the poor form. Make sure you're lifting correctly. I mean, we all know that we got to lift with you know, bending our legs, keeping a straight back, doing this, and trying to keep everything right. But
don't use your back like a crane.
Exactly. No, don't be like a crane. And one of the things that if you are using bad posture and you're feeling run down or tired or exhausted from doing too much, that's another one of those things that really gets us. When we're 100% and we're ticking along, we can usually get by with a little bit more of the bad posture, because one of the things you always hear is, I've done it a million times before, why did it do it this time? I hear that all the time. And so there's a reason why, and one of those is you've been pushed a bit harder in the last week or 2 weeks. You've worked long days for the last month trying to catch up, or you've been stuck in a weird year in 2020 and you have plenty of stress on around you. All these different things can run us down. And when we get run down, the thing that gets the most vulnerable of anyone I see is the back. The back is the area that gets run down. And there's the referral patterns that we won't talk about here, but it will cause that to be a vulnerable area. It'll go ping, and then you start getting the leg pain, butt pain, knee pain, foot pain, all those things start to come on.
Gotcha.
And so those are two of the cases that are the most common ones that I see. You have the other things contributing, or you have the acute injury. And so those are two different kind of classifications that will really see which one you're in when you've injured it. With those ones, the later ones that we talked about, they're the kind of several things contributing being run down. Oftentimes with them, I see there's less of the acute things on the nerve with that, and there's more several contributing factors that if they get everything in line, the body feels a lot better, a lot faster that way.
When you say everything getting in line, what are some of those things that you...
Some of those things. So the chiropractic adjustments, getting the bones and bony structure moving together as it should. Think of that like a Jenga tower if you're playing Jenga, mm-hmm. and you push a bunch of the blocks out and move them around. If they're all wobbly and off, then they're not really going to be too stable when you take out the next one. But if you can take the little container and straighten them all out every time, they're going to be a lot more stable. So that's mm-hmm. what you're doing when you get the things adjusted back in the right place with the chiropractor, is you get the structure back sound so you can handle a bit more.
Yep.
So that's one thing that's done with that. Plenty of sleep and rest, what we talk about in our kind of our self-maintenance. If people are doing that, getting to bed 8:30, drinking plenty of water, getting plenty of exercise, fresh air, all those different aspects that we're in, good diet, all those things getting brought into it, that helps to keep the back strong and the body strong, so that way it's not going to have quite the same flare-up.
Yep.
So that's another aspect to keep the chronic things at bay and to keep them from needing a surgery. But once we start getting into the other side of things, if that's not working, then we start getting into painkillers and surgeries and time off work and all these other things that will work for some, will work for some, but I see the cases that hasn't worked for. That's what all chiropractors and physios and the other people are going to see. Those who the other things aren't working for are going to be seeing. So we can figure out with the severe extreme cases, what do they have to do to get better? And so what we should do before we even try the surgery is do the things that can fix people after a failed surgery or failed drugs or whatever it is. If it doesn't work for them, then we take that away and we get them fixed by doing these things. That should be the thing we should try first, especially when it's more conservative.
Yeah, right. So thinking about the people that are coming in, you know, some of the recent cases that you've been supporting, you know, people through, and knowing that there could be some possible common causes, are there particular vocations or occupations or things that that you've seen are more prevalent or more prominent that come in to see you? Or is it like across the board? It could be someone that's got a sedentary job sitting at their desk to someone who's, you know, working in a warehouse packing orders or things. You know, are there any patterns from that you've seen with the different people that are you're working with?
That's a good question. The more you get into awkward positions while trying to do things is one. So if you're doing not all electricians, but if you're an electrician who gets into funny places and you're crawling under things and you're trying to lift things and do that, that's one that I see a fair amount of. Engineers that are doing similar types of things. Because you're getting lifting heavier things and you're in awkward positions trying to fit in little spaces, and that's a bad combination. You get the occasional mechanics, similar reason, twisted funny, can't use proper mechanics, and then ping. So those are some of the bigger ones. You get your meat works, and there's a bit of that, but they usually have pretty good standards for OSHA and things where they kind of have to follow that, and there's enough room around them where it's not as much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those are some of the typical professions. Then you have the sports and the athletes. There's a lot of that come in with, you know, ping the back and getting tackled in a weird way, and you just got to try and figure out what things there are that are going on. And there are a few ways to kind of discern these different things that are going on, because we talked in the beginning around the different sensations. It's a funny feeling. It's this, it's that. So we have to try and identify what it is that isn't traveling, what's wrong, and then you can kind of quantify if they're getting better or worse. Mm. So some tools that we have of the trade that we can actually use to get people feeling better. So a few of the things that we can use to try and help identify what the issues are. We have a tuning fork. We have a reflex hammer. We have the sharp end, a dull end of a reflex hammer. I don't have anything hot or cold here. At the office, you can find something with like a hot cup of tea versus normal temperature items. And so with a tuning fork, I'll give this a bit of a ting here. Bring that out. And if you put that on a joint and they don't feel the vibration, you can go closer and closer and closer and go to different areas, and you can figure out how bad each part of it is, which nerve it is, which joint space is off, and you can start to figure out where the problem is coming from and what's going on.
So literally giving someone a tune-up.
Yeah, exactly. Good jokes, guys. Good jokes. And so that is one of the areas, and that is a 512 hertz tuning fork. That's the appropriate one to do that with.
So there's a range of these different
tuning forks. There's a range of different ones,
that you have
and that's the good one for the vibration sensation.
Nice.
So you can do a joint position sense as well. So I can take your distal finger, or the last joint of your finger, and I can grab the one before that, and then I move your finger up or down, and you have to tell me up or down without looking.
Wow.
And that's for me to tell joint position sense. That's the proprioception aspect of it.
Wow. Yep.
So that tells me if you know what's going on. And if you get it right 5 out of 10 times, it tells me you're probably guessing. If you get it right 10 out of 10, that tells me that you know what's going on, and it's not just the body knows what's going on. It's not being affected that way.
Yep.
So that's a second way. Third way, we have the sharp end of this reflex hammer, or you can use any sharp thing, and you can use any dull thing. So touch it with the sharp thing, touch it with the dull thing if you want to feel that one.
Mm-hmm.
Sharp.
Oh, do it on the other side because I changed hands.
Yeah, pretty easy to tell, sharp, dull. Yeah. You just don't want it to be too sharp, and they have to be able to discern those different things.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of the different things that people can tell and can use beneficial to know exactly what that feeling is. And then if you tell them you've lost vibration sense, not that it's a weird feeling, then they feel, okay, well, I know what's going on. I know that's frustrating. And then it doesn't scare people as much. It doesn't come an issue, because once we start getting that fear behind the injury, that's when it starts to snowball and get worse, because we get more stressed. And as we get more stressed, things tighten. As they tighten, we get more pain down that leg.
Mm.
And so that's all part of kind of getting on top of this problem in the early stages, is figuring all those things out, figuring out what the different senses are that are being affected, how you go about fixing it, and what we have to do to try and correct that. Then once we're doing that, we also have to take care of other issues, because some of the people come in with actual just it's pain down the leg, and the senses are doing pretty good. There's a couple senses off, but the pain is what's killing them. And the people that you see longer on the pain have been on more pain meds for longer, which have a harder effect. So some of the common ones that you see with people, you start getting into the amitriptyline or the nortriptyline, which dull nerve pain. There's some of the real, real common ones. And they usually have mixed results anyways, but people, once they get on them, it's hard to go away from, because if it takes a little bit of the edge off, it's better than nothing. Mm. And then you get the opioids and your Nurofens and all those other things that they're taking to try and numb the pain. Mm. And what the nortriptylines and those do is they actually stop the reuptake of the transmitters that are telling the nerve pain signal. And so they make it so that it can't give that message to your brain. It inhibits and affects a lot of other things, which is where it becomes a bit of a problem. But if we can get it so that's not needed, the body can function better, and there's less factors that are contributing towards that overall pain in the back and pain and down the legs or pain down the arm. Because it can be in the leg is what we're talking about now with like sciatica or femoral nerve entrapment and neuropathy. Or it can be in the arms. It can be really anywhere.
Right.
One example of neuropathy can be carpal tunnel syndrome, because that just gets caught in the wrist and goes down the hand. So it's the nerves in the hands that are feeling it from the entrapment, but it's not like the sciatic and the other things in the spine per se.
Yeah, I understand. And I just, when you mentioned that carpal tunnel, I remember when I was kayaking a lot, and I was doing the same motion, for like 6 hours, down the river, and it was that repetitiveness that caused that challenge, And so, it took a bit of treatment to come right.
A lot of the people that you see are people who are athletes and have been athletes in the past and had some injuries, and then they tend to add up. And it's not necessarily always injury to the spine that caused the problem. It's cumulative injuries that have tightened other areas and done other things. So, for an example, I have an old rugby player who came to me, and he had nerve pain down one of his legs, and it had been long-standing nerve pain, plenty of painkillers, plenty of things he was trying, had done a surgery too. None of it had taken the pain away. Really didn't even reduce it. And you can see when people have been in chronic pain with this nerve type of pain, or with migraine headaches or another one too, where it just kind of drains the life out of us little by little. And if you don't have the pain, you want to think about how it is. Wake up every morning in pain, go to bed every night in pain, every minute in between is in pain, and the thought of getting rid of it is probably not really too realistic. So with them, you have to start by getting a bit of a result. So identifying the areas that are painful and what's causing it are a real key thing. So we have to try and find all the bits to go into that. There's muscular work that can be done. There's spinal work that can be done with adjustments. And there's nutritional work that can be done to make the area stronger. So we were talking before the show, and I said, a lot of the people that I see with these types of injuries are people like you and me, because the people that are, working real hard all the time, draining themselves, running themselves way down, and then something happens, and we get a little bit of a weakness, and then we just keep working hard, and it just keeps getting a little bit worse, a little bit worse, a little bit worse. And those are the people that are really rewarding to work with and help, because they're putting in all that effort to try and do it. You give them the direction, and it gets in the right direction. They get better so much faster.
I was just sort of thinking that, with the different people that you have been treating, with this challenge, and I'm picking that because we're all unique in our own right, and the cause may be different, and you might come up with a particular treatment plan. So I'm just wondering if you might be able to just share what has been an example of a successful treatment plan, after you diagnose what it was, the cause and so on. And what was the turnaround or the time frame or the timeline like for that particular person? And I'm sure there's going to be, varying, methods, and there's going to be various time frames. We're just keen just to get one example, like what was the person's vocation, what caused it, and then, moving forward, just a wee bit about that journey or their as a case study.
Yeah. Well, as you said, everyone's so much different. We'll give you an idea of this one individual who has a desk job and was in their 40s at the time of this being bad, and history of rugby and some injuries with rugby to the legs, ankle, and then the back came on with a sprinting injury, I believe.
Yep. Are they? Were they, do you know what position they were?
I don't remember. Okay. I want to say a forward, but I don't think it was. it may have been a back too. So don't quote me on that. And so with this individual, they've been having it for quite a long time. Had a surgery. On several of the painkillers I was talking about, and they still couldn't do any exercise to try and leave because it was so much pain they couldn't get an alleviation of the pain. So they came in and we started working with them, and you know, in the first couple visits you usually know if you're going to get some results because there's a bit of a dulling of it after the first one. They come in the second visit and they see a lightness in their eyes and they've got a bit of energy back, you know that you're going in the right direction. They had a bit of a better sleep for once in, you know, the past 6 months or 6 years or however long it's been. And so with those people, sometimes they can't handle an adjustment the first visit with your hands. So you have to use an activator, which is the little mechanical percussive device we use. And you just give a nice soft adjustment with that just to kind of get a little bit of movement into the joint space because we've talked about this on a previous show that if a joint gets out of position, there's a lot of joints in the spine, a lot of little uncovertebral joints and zygapophyseal joints, which are little things where the big body of the vertebrae sit on top of each other. And then in the back, they all kind of hook together with little columns to kind of give extra stability. And if any one of those little joints in those columns gets stuck for longer than 8 weeks, you start having irreversible change of bony structure being deposited and making it so you have less range of motion and more issues. So we have to start getting those freed up, and that's what that little activator will do with a real light adjustment. It won't be as good as the hand, in my opinion. Some chiropractors prefer it and will argue with me that it is just as good. Fair enough. But you use that to free up the joint space, and then over time, you judge it based off the pain and the person's comfort and the thing. You can then start doing mechanical adjustments. So you start freeing up the spine that way, and you start to find areas where the muscles are starting to tighten in the leg, and you start to free up those bits. And there are certain areas which you find that each person will change so dramatically, there's no point in figuring out and saying which points there are. But there were three different points in the leg in this, one in the quadricep and two in the calf that were real tender. And we made every single day that we saw them, that was something we worked on every time and just kept freeing it up more and more and more and more. And the pain started to come away from his foot a bit and started coming up the leg. That's a really good sign. Mm-hmm. When it starts coming away from the foot and up the leg, that's the best sign you can have, other than going away, but that doesn't really happen, so that's not worth being in one and not La La Land over. So you start having it coming up the leg, and it starts to get less severe, and so you keep working on those points, and it's almost going away. And then you get to the point where the back's feeling good enough, and you can do adjustments, and that's great. And then the pain's pretty much gone under the circumstances with still taking the pain control and all the other things. And then this particular individual was keen to get out and do a bit of exercise because you haven't been able to exercise for a few years. And then you have a bit of a setback and you injure yourself a little bit because you go too hard from being not doing anything.
To actually go on a bit more active.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was the first little setback.
Body says, hang on, I was sleeping there. What are you doing waking me up?
Exactly. Yeah. And when those little muscles are firing, our personal trainers out there, and we've had a few personal trainers on the show, they'll know that when you don't have those little individual muscles working on there and the big muscle groups trying to fire up, that's when you get another little injury, a big setback. Mm. So there was a couple of those setbacks here and there. And that was something that only was a week or two that set it back, but it was a setback and had to re-get into some of the areas that were problematic, and you start turning those on again. And you get back up there, and then this individual was like, I went to their doctor, and they started talking about getting off the pain meds, and because they were almost no pain, and they wanted to go off. And then as you start coming off the pain meds, the pain can flare and drop and flare and drop. And this is all a pattern of that you see when you're treating people. And so they were working through that and managing that. And we kept working on the legs and the back and the spine. And you just keep hammering that along. And it was a good 6 months to a year that we took to get the pain gone and have him managing. And it's been a while since I've seen him now. He's doing well and starting being really active. Yep. So that's a really good sign of many years of pain to being no pain, having no real pain management in terms of painkillers, and doing normal life.
Yeah, awesome.
And so that's a really extreme case to pretty well back to normal.
Yeah.
And you have varieties of that. So that's where somebody's coming after 6 years after surgery on the pain meds. If people come in earlier, get working on it conservatively earlier, that's probably an even better recovery.
Yeah, so try and get into the appropriate treatment and healing before it gets too bad.
Yeah, yeah. And jumping to the real big interventions right away is what a lot of people want to go to, and it's not always the right thing. Because I mean, in my practice, one of the things that's kind of funny, people come in and first treatment goes well, second treatment goes well, pain's not completely gone, but like, should I go get an MRI and look for a surgery? And I was like, well, we have this thought that surgeries are the be-all, fix-all, and it rarely is the case that it is that way. So if it's improving with conservative care, whether it be massage, chiropractic, physio, whatever, everyone will tell you to keep doing that. Surgeons will tell you to keep doing that. And we've had Dave Kaiser on here who said to do that. So that's the way you want to go, because there's no guarantees. And if you can get results doing it that way, just keep going that way. Keep going, keep working hard. It's going to be a long, hard journey oftentimes, but that hard work will get you there. And that's where it's going to pay off the most for those people.
Yeah. That's good. Have you got any other examples that you had a different process or procedure or treatment plan that springs to mind? Or are they follow a similar framework, with the adjustments and that sort of thing?
There's a few different things. Okay, so I do have another one that's a different sort of pain, but it's still a neurogenic pain, neuropathic pain. And so this person was a really high-level athlete, pushing really hard from a real young age, and maybe didn't have the best form, but was still really that good where they could just push through it. And time caught up a little bit and started to make it so things were a bit more problematic. So they just stopped doing their sport. And so I saw them once early on and saw them for three visits, got a tiny bit of results with that, and then that kind of fell wayside, and they went away for, I think, about 9 months to a year, came back in, and we started again, and on the second visit, I think I sent her out to a trusted PT to kind of assess what patterns were off, because first time around, we got some results, but not quite enough. So I changed the thought process to look at what could else be contributing. So you watch people's gait, you watch their squat patterns, you watch how they move, what they're doing. And with that, you start to see a certain bit in the hips. So one of the hips was really not working correctly. So you took a step with one leg and everything moved nicely like everything was supposed to. And then when the other leg happened, the body twisted instead of
staying in the right alignment
and moving the way it should. And so we're like, I was thinking in my head, like, that doesn't look right. And it was a subtle thing because the body was really well trained to do this, but it was definitely not happening. And it had been probably 9 years since they stopped doing their competition. And so it had been subtle enough to last 9 years without being found. Mm. So you see it, and you see it on repetition, and you go, okay, there's something there. And I sent her to this friend of PT, and they found a few things to try and change that pattern around. He put her on some exercises to do, and big improvement. Mm-hmm. And we're still working through that, and it's going the right way. But it's finding the muscular pattern and the ingrained pattern that they had from their sport, changing that, changing the whole body. And then you get back to it again. We had a big flare-up with that athlete, and it came back that it was just a little addition of some neck movement exercises that did it. So with this individual, an old neck injury was also playing into it. So that brings us into a whole another area of how these things can all be kind of tied in. So if you look at the spine, it's from the brain all the way down to the level, there's one neuron that's connected the whole way. And if we have something that's restricted and doesn't want to move right, it can put extra tension onto those nerves anywhere. And so this person had a neck injury, and so that was partially contributing to the back by putting tension through either the nerves or through the connective tissue or through the fascia. Mm-hmm. And so what we had to do is get that freed up, and that was just from part of the rehab that we were getting results with the back, and now there's a big flare-up that we didn't know why it happened. So then at that stage, you're like, okay, there's something there. You get into the bits, you really can find some real bad scar tissue in there. It was actually, with working on the person, I have pretty strong, pretty work to find hands from doing the job for so long. And that actually really challenged my hands to the point where I couldn't work on anybody with that hand for about 2 weeks afterwards.
Wow.
Because I had to get in there so much to really free those bits up.
Yep.
And so it was quite impressive to see how much that neck was contributing to the back and how the whole body just kind of works as a unit, especially when people are asking a lot of themselves. Like, this was a top athlete in their age bracket, and you just push. You compensate for everything you do, and the body just gets through it, and then it goes at the end.
Yep.
And if it does that enough times, eventually it can't recover all the way, and you start getting to where you can't do what you want. You can't exercise
the rubber band sort of stretched out, but when it comes back to its normal place, it's lost a bit more of its stretchiness.
Exactly.
Sort of thing, so.
Exactly. And it can't do it anymore. It just gives up.
Yep.
And you have to try and find, well, okay, this is the problem. This is here. Get a little glue out, mend the rubber band up, try and get it so it's working again, right?
Mm.
And you find all those bits. And this is an ongoing process. I don't have a finished product on that one yet.
Yep.
But they're moving the right
Sounds
direction.
Sounds like they're moving on the right track.
And they're very happy.
Now, a number of people that are listening won't necessarily connect with being a star athlete necessarily, right, or a high-performing athlete. And a number of our listeners will have quite a different sort of lifestyle.
Yep.
So what about someone that just wakes up in the mornings and they've got a sore back,
yep,
lower back? That's something I hear about quite a lot, you know, just with family and friends and so on. So, is it the bed that is causing that? Or can it be the bed that is causing that?
It could be the bed. I will say it could be the bed. It is rarely the bed, but it could be the bed.
Right.
But it's rarely the bed. It's oftentimes other factors contributing. And one that oftentimes happens is you get the back that's aching, and there's this tightness into the butt and into the legs, and then people come in and say it's sciatica, which is one of the other confusing things that throws off. And that's actually just muscular tension, muscular tightness that's doing it, and stretching and strengthening are two of the big things with getting that right. When we're talking about the sedentary lifestyle and the beds being the issue. So if we get into the lengthening and strengthening is the keywords with that is really good. So there's a few things that people can do, a stretch that people can do to start get that going the right way in those circumstances. It's the cat and camel stretch.
Mm-hmm.
If people have heard of that, where you just kind of roll your back up and then roll it through as you lean forward. That's a real common popular one that people have heard of that can start to make it freed up in the morning so you don't injure it any worse. But what we have to do to get that better is, I'll give you a little insights into what the body's telling us. So the body's always telling us messages. Pain is a message.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very complex message that is very hard to decipher, and people spend their whole lives in doing certain careers where they can't figure this stuff out, and it's it's very maddening at times. But if the back is in pain when you wake up and you don't want to get out of bed at the same time, it's usually because you didn't go to bed early enough, or you're doing too much and you just run down to the body saying, let me stay in bed, I'm not ready.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons. And if you do that long enough, where you just keep pushing too hard for too long, don't get enough sleep, the body's eventually going to tell you loud enough where you have to stay in bed.
Yep.
And if you blow a disc out and you can't, step or anything, that's one really loud message of how to do it. So that's one reason why the body's going to say to do that and keep going that way. So bedtime, drink plenty of water, rest, those are all huge. At night, if your body's achy and not wanting you to lay down, oftentimes it's because there's some unfinished stuff that you haven't quite done that the body's wanting you to do a bit more of.
Right.
Oftentimes that ends up being, I haven't done enough physical activity today.
Mm.
I know if I don't get enough energy out, even though I'm tired, we're exhausted after a long day thinking at the office. Even if I haven't gotten enough energy out with physical activity, there's that pent up energy and you just can't quite go to bed the same way and the sleep isn't quite as good.
Mm-hmm.
If you have that even if it's just half hour at the park kicking a soccer ball around, go do that with the family. That will make a big difference. And that will give you that bit of energy release, a bit of that outdoor fresh air, and then the body will say, okay, we can lay down, we can rest. Take the dog for a walk. Those little things, it's little routine things.
Mm.
Get the routine right, and the rest will go the right way. And that's a big thing that we all need to learn. And then as that happens, then when you go to your practitioner, whoever you go to, then the interventions they offer are going to have that much more of an impact when we're doing those bits at home.
Yes.
Because we talked many times before about the building blocks of, the exercise, the water, stress reduction, all these things. You get the four big building blocks in place, and you're already up here. You can then get all these other little fine-tuned things for that individual that will work. But the building blocks are the same for most of us. I would say everybody, but there's always an outlier, so I won't say everybody. So we'll see, the four blocks are almost the same, almost for everybody the same thing. Get those in place, and then the specific things for each individual injury will then become that much more important.
Awesome. Well, mate, you've covered a lot in our show today, you know, and I just want to thank you for giving some hope to people that might be struggling with these challenges. Even if you're not a super sports person and you've been sitting at your desk and you've been putting up with some of these things, where can people come in and maybe have a consultation and a treatment with you, Carl?
Well, I think find me at the Alpha Omega Clinic in Maryville, or if they have a chiropractor they prefer already or a family member can refer to, that's always a good one. Go based off of a word of mouth referral. That's usually one of the best ways to find somebody, in my opinion.
Yep.
Or if they have a certain practitioner that they like, that they've gotten really good results with in the past. But otherwise, you know, I'm happy to help them out at Maryville, the Alpha Omega Clinic.
Excellent, mate. And I know that you've got a very busy practice down there, and you have a number of your clients that, you know, they're quite proactive with their health and their well-being.
Absolutely.
And so they don't necessarily wait until they're broken. They actually come to you for some preventative things. And we haven't really talked about that on the show, but so maybe in future shows we can talk about what's the preventative care they can take, including your services, with your chiropractic and other treatments there that help people stay well, so that you can possibly prevent some of these other things from actually occurring. Hearing.
Absolutely. That is one that we don't talk about.
And a proactive wellness.
Proactive is definitely the way to go. Just like if you have one car that you can own your entire life, you don't wait for it to break down before you get it serviced. So it only makes sense to service it beforehand, keep looking after it.
And your body's more valuable than a car.
Way more valuable.
Awesome. Hey, great show today, Caveman. Look forward to reconnecting again soon so we can dig on some other topics.
Thanks, guys. You can find our podcast on Facebook at Dr. Carl Bamlett, the Modern Caveman, on the Plains FM website and iTunes, and you can get the live stream from plainsfm.org.nz. On behalf of Carl Wartini, I'm Dr. Carl Bamlett, chiropractor at the Alpha Omega Clinic, reminding you that you can't change from within, on the outside looking in.
Thank you for listening to Dr. Carl Bamlett, the Modern Caveman. For more healthy lifestyle tips, find Dr. Carl on drcarlbamlett.com and like him on Facebook. I'm Pascal Patrick, signing off for Dr. Carl Bamlett, the Modern Caveman.